Hi, this is Rovin J from the Bodrum Peninsula Travel Guide. Now, if you don't have time to read a guidebook, how can you get recommendations for the top five things to do in the area? On my website, I have a collection of top five lists, and I solicit information from locals and visitors. I ask them to provide me with a list of the top five memories that they took home with them. It could be a place they visited, a shop, something they ate, something they saw. Really, they have carte blanche of what to include. For this podcast, I've consolidated all the top fives I've ever received, categorized them, and then picked my top five based on their top five. So keep listening, and I'll let you into the secrets of the top five recommendations for the Bodrum Peninsula. The first top five list features places to visit. And first on this list has to be Gumushluk. It's famous for its restaurants, the majority of which are huddled around the harbour area. And this is where you'll also find a big selection of craft stalls, some of which sell unique crafts that you can't find anywhere else on the peninsula. There's also a couple of small beaches and, of course, the very famous Rabbit Island. Gumushluk is steeped in history, and archaeological digs happen in this area every year, and if you wander off the beaten path, you're bound to stumble across old ancient walls from the era of Mausolus and Alexander the Great. Although Gumushluk is a popular destination, especially in the summertime, it still manages to retain its fishing village charm. And this is why Gumushluk has made it to number one in my top five places to visit on the Bodrum Peninsula. Second place on my list goes to Bodrum Castle. The original castle was built in the 1400s by the Knights of St. John. But in 1522, the Knights lost their stronghold and the castle fell to the Ottoman Empire. In the 1900s, the castle was turned into a prison and you can still tour the dungeons. Over time, the castle turned into rack and ruin and it was just a shell of its former magnificence. But in 1964, renovation efforts started, and today when you visit Bodrum Castle, you can see it restored to its full former glory. Bodrum Castle is also home to the Museum of Underwater Archaeology, which is a really fascinating collection of displays and exhibits of a vast collection of artifacts retrieved from the bottom of the ocean. As you wander around the castle, it's quite easy to get lost because of all the different levels. But one place you have to make sure you go is around the ramparts. From there you get a bird's eye view of Bodrum town with the amphitheatre on the hillside in the distance. And of course the best bit is just the gorgeous view out in the bay. All said and done, Bodrum Castle is a worthy destination and it could quite easily chew up 2 to 3 hours of your time. Bear in mind that it's closed on Mondays and some of the exhibitions close for lunchtime, so just time your visit accordingly. So here we are at the midway point of our top five. Number three is a trip to a Turkish bath. There's really no better way to start your holiday than laying on a hot marble slab, enjoying a bubble massage and having the top few layers of your skin sloughed off so your body is primed and ready for your suntan. Bear in mind that your skin is going to be super sensitive after a Turkish bath, so you need to make sure to use plenty of suntan lotion when you do eventually hit the beach. And actually, that's a good segue into number four on our top five list. There's plenty of beaches all over the Bodrum Peninsula, but one of the widest, sandiest beaches is Camel Beach. In the height of summer, when many of the other beaches on the peninsula are jam-packed with wall-to-wall sun loungers, you can usually find some space on Camel Beach. As the name suggests, there are camels on Camel Beach, and if it takes your fancy, you can take a camel ride. The camels don't actually go along the beach, they go off the beach to the back and through the trees, and it's a pretty short jaunt there and back. The last entry on this top five list could be considered a little bit of a cheat, but well, it's my top five, so I'm going to include it anyway. The destination to head for? Anywhere and everywhere on the Bodrum Peninsula. I really encourage you to step off the beaten path. Get away from your resort, get away from your hotel, and go and explore some of the other towns and villages on the Bodrum Peninsula. It's a couple of great ways to do this. Why not rent a moped for the day? The peninsula is small enough that you could easily navigate it within that one day time frame and still have plenty of opportunities of visiting the beaches and shops and restaurants that you want along the way. Another great way of exploring the peninsula is by using the local Dolmush service. They're cheap and they run frequently, and you can catch them from any of the towns and villages throughout the entire peninsula. In this top five, we covered Gumushluk, Bodrum Castle, Turkish Baths, Camel Beach, and finally, everywhere else on the Bodrum Peninsula. This week, I think we've got time to squeeze in just one more. So let's take a quick peek at the Eat and Drink top five list. In the number one spot is my favourite farmer's market snack, and that's a goslemay. You can also buy these in local restaurants, especially at the Lokantas, which are great lunchtime spots. But for some reason, a goslemay just tastes so much better when you're wandering around the market. It starts off as a very thinly hand-rolled circular shape, similar to a very large pancake or crepe. And then it's filled with different ingredients like vegetables or ground lamb, or just some of the local white cheese. Once the filling's been added, the goslemay is folded over and then it's cooked on a concave griddle, and the perfectly cooked goslemay is slightly crispy, and I swear they will keep your hunger at bay for a good few hours. They're so filling. The second item on the list is another traditional Turkish meal, and that's a Turkish breakfast. Traditionally, it consists of bread, cheese, olives, eggs, tomatoes, cucumbers, and usually a delicious assortment of homemade preserves. If you're on a self-catering holiday, why don't you head down to the local farmers market and pick up all the fresh produce and supplies that you need to make your own very special Turkish breakfast. The third entry on this top five list are the municipal cafes that you can find in all the little towns and villages throughout the peninsula. No two cafes are created equal. Some are self-service, some are waiter service. But the best ones are really located near the coastal area, especially around the harbour. Head there first thing in the morning before the rest of the town wakes up and enjoy a cup of Turkish coffee or a glass of Turkish tea. And sit there and relax and ease yourself into a new day as you watch the fishermen cleaning their boats, untangling their nets, and chatting to each other, usually with a cigarette hanging out of the corner of their mouths. The great thing about these cafes is they're usually a fraction of the price of the tourist cafes. Even though Turkey is a nation of tea drinkers, the first drink that comes to mind when you think of Turkey is obviously a Turkish coffee. And a Turkish coffee has made it to number four on our list. I prefer my Turkish coffee with a little bit of sweetness to it, and because the sugar is added during the boiling process, when you order it you need to remember to let your waiter know whether you want a little bit of sugar, a lot of sugar, or just medium. Or for hardcore Turkish coffee drinkers, no sugar whatsoever. Let's wrap up this top five list with another famous Turkish drink, and that's raki, which is an aniseed-flavoured drink similar to the Greeks ouzo. And even though it's served in small shot glasses, it's not intended to be drunk as a shot. It can be served with ice and water, and you just sit there at dinner, taking gentle sips until your whole body is infused with a raki glow. So that wraps up this food and drink top five. We've covered lots of great topics this week, and if you want more information, you can find it on my website at bodrumpeninsulatravelguide.co.uk. For each podcast, I'm creating a companion landing page over on my website, which will include links to all of the topics that were covered in the podcast today. So hopefully I've piqued your interest to find out more about the Bodrum Peninsula. And I look forward to sharing more about Turkey's Aegean Gem with you next time. But for now, I'm roving.